Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How y'all is? Yeah. Too bad I didn't have a wedding last night for a tuxedo to wear, but I got my tie. Y'all, it's good to see all y'all here today. Especially with all the circumstances, when you could have laid out, you could have stayed home. I mean, y'all know good as well as I do, people look for any reason to stay home. So I'm glad you're here. And y'all, I believe I got a word for y'all today. You can ask Gentry. Yesterday, I was trying to get everything together, put it on paper, and she actually threatened me like I was a little kid. She was going to take my phone from me because I just couldn't. I'd get something, and then immediately I'd get distracted by something. And I'd try just to get it down, get a thought down. And, y'all, I had a rough time getting this thing together. But I believe it's for somebody today. And bad as the devil didn't want me to get it together, I got it together. So, you know the series is You Asked For It. Well, Pastor Clint texted me a while back asking me which one would I like to preach on. He gave me all these subjects. And the one I want to speak on is how do I change? I feel like that's a question a bunch of people ask themselves. How do I change? How do I go from where I am to where God wants me to be? That's the whole slogan of our church, right? It's one step. We want you to come here and take one step closer to where God wants you to be than where you are right now. So before we get into the word today, y'all, let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Father God, thank you for this word that you've given me. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll breathe your life on this word. Breathe your life on this message, Father God. Open our hearts. Open our ears. Let the words that are said today, Father God, be you. Put me to the side, Father God. Just let me be the mouthpiece. Move in power, Holy Spirit. You're welcome in this place. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, first off, Pastor Clint, thank you for letting me come and speak. Today, I was getting everything together, and I was like, you know, I want to do 4 points. So all I want to do is 4 points on how do you change. And I sat back and I asked myself, what did I do? What happened in my life that made me change? And so that's the 4 points we're going to have. And if you got your notes, if anybody didn't get one of these, shoot your hand up, my usher will get you one. And you got to take notes. If you don't take notes, you don't get to keep a pen. It's that simple. The first step, you got to want to change. You got to want to change. I ain't never been a smoker, but I know that there's the nicotine addiction. You got to want to quit, right? You can't half-heartedly just give it up. You got to want to quit. Well, it's the same thing with choosing. You want to change your life. I reached a point in my life where I knew that the way I was living wasn't right. I knew the things I were doing wasn't right. And it come to a point where I was lost, y'all. I was just plain out, flat out lost. But I ended up in Millen, Georgia one night at a Wild Game Supper. And the guy preached a message on being willing to let God use you and all this. Y'all have heard my testimony. If y'all haven't, I'll share it on another day. But at the end of it, he made an altar call. And I had a choice to make. That's where it starts. It's a choice. You have a choice to make. You can choose to keep living the life you're living. You can choose to keep on going through the same things you're going through. Or you can choose to give it to God. Instead of trying to fight tomorrow's battles on your own or today's battles on your own, you can give it to God. You realize you have a God that fights for you? A God who's already won the battle, won the war? But it all starts with a choice. You've got to realize, you've got to come to a spot in your life that you realize, I need help. I can't do this on my own. I'm lost. I need a Savior. My way ain't working. I lived 20 years Cam's way, and y'all, it don't work. Chasing the world and everything it has to offer don't work. Plain and simple. It'll leave you just broken and empty. But you have to want to change. You got to realize you can't do it on your own. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. and with him I'm well pleased. Let's back up to verse 16 right there. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he come up out the water. What happened? Heaven opened. The heavens opened to Jesus. The heavens opened to Jesus. So you really want to fix that problem you're going through? You really want to fix where you're at in your life? You got to bring Jesus into the picture. You bring Jesus into the workplace. You bring Jesus into your relationships. You bring Jesus into your family, and the heavens open on it. The heavens open to Jesus. Second step. We're already right there on the verge of it. You got to bring it to Jesus. You have to bring it to Jesus. You got to go to the foot of the cross. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's your first step. That's your first step. Ask for forgiveness. Anybody see what I put on Facebook this week? I was mind blown. I was sitting in the office in there, and I was writing my notes, and I wrote down the word forgiveness. And I messed up on one of the letters. I think I messed up on the N. And I was bolding it, making it big, and I got to looking. All y'all, if you write out the word forgiveness, if you take off the three letters at the end, take off the ESS, what's it spell? Forgiven. You realize you're forgiven before you can even finish asking for forgiveness? That is grace on top of grace on top of grace. Before you can even finish asking for forgiveness, you're already forgiven. Receive that love that Jesus poured out for you. Receive his grace and his mercy. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter how unlovable you think you are. Jesus loves you, and he died on the cross to prove it. He died on the cross to prove it. He took our sin. He took our judgment, our punishment. He paved the way for our eternity through his death and his resurrection. And all you have to do is believe that. All you have to do is believe that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that he came born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, and on the third day he arose in victory. And now he's seated at the right hand of God. All you got to do is believe that, and you're saved. And you're saved. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. You remember what justified means? Just as if I had never sinned. You believe with your heart and you're justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Believe it in your heart, confess it in your mouth, you're saved. That's it. People will try to complicate it, that's it. It's so simple. Bring Jesus your heavy heart. Y'all, in this storm right now, there's a bunch of people with heavy hearts. We're lucky to be able to meet in this building today. There's some places that don't even have a building to meet in right now. There's some churches that are flooded. I'm sure there's some in Florida that ain't even there no more. But bring Jesus your heavy heart. Bring him your weary soul. Bring him your shame. That's something I dealt with for a long time, is shame. He wants all of your broken pieces. He wants you to cry out to him. Your guilt, your broken relationships, your problems, he wants that. He died on the cross to fix that, y'all. Y'all, let's take a second and look at Jesus' resume, if you will. He's the master trader. Think about this. I was thinking about this morning. Look at what he's traded. He's traded pain for peace. He's traded hurt for healing. Sadness for joy. He's traded mourning for dancing. Yo, he traded heaven for earth. He traded it being God's right hand for a cross. And this is my favorite one right here. He traded the grave for life. Through Jesus, we have eternal life. David Crowder's got a song that says, "The cross meant for death is my victory." Yo, I can just see the devil. Oh, we got him. Look at him nailing on the cross and bleeding. We got him. We've beat him. As my nephew says, he's defeated. I can just see the devil just so happy. But he did not know what was coming. He did not know what was coming through the grave, through Jesus' resurrection. Now we have the same power that Jesus had. We have the same power that lives inside of us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. to bring it to Jesus, y'all. Step three is meditate on the word. That's a big word for me. Meditate on the word. Had to look up the definition. The word meditate means to contemplate, to think deeply about. To contemplate, to think deeply about. Before I go any further, you want to know God? You want to know Jesus? You want to grow closer to Jesus? Read your Bible. Let's go to John 1:1. I don't think I put this in the notes, but I got it right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word, Joe. The Word was God. Jesus is the Word. You want to grow close to Him? You want to learn how He thinks? You want to see how He handles situations? Read His Word. Read it. It's right there. As Mr. Bill says, he's not here today. Yo, this Bible is life's instruction manual. You want to figure out how to handle problems? Open up your Bible. I saw a thing on Instagram the other day. It said, don't say God ain't listening or God ain't talking to you with a closed Bible. Open that thing up. Yo, all the answers are right there. But study your Bible. Meditate on the Word. Spend time reading it. All throughout your day, think about it. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. It's free of charge right here. Watch who you hang out with, y'all. Watch who you sit with. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. You want to prosper? You want to be who God's called you to be? Study His Word. Meditate on His Word all day long. Let God's Word stay in your mind all day. Instead of thinking about your problems, worrying about all kind of different things you got going on. You may be in here right now thinking, you know, we ain't got power at the house. What are we going to eat? Just, y'all, for this next 20 minutes, just clear your mind. Think about the words I'm saying. Think about the Word of God. Adjust your priorities. You got to make time for reading your Bible. Think about this. How many of us make time to waste time for social media? I'm guilty. I know I ain't the only one, but I guarantee you over half of us make time to waste time spending on Facebook, reading other people's stuff, or on Instagram just looking at what's going on with people. What if you spent that time in the Word of God? What if you spent that time talking to Daddy, just praying, thanking Him for what He's done, praying, asking, what next, God? Send me somewhere else. Send me whoever you want to send me. But instead, let me like this. Let me retweet that. What if God's sitting here knocking, trying to tell you something, but you won't get off your phone or computer to even realize it? Meditate on the Word, y'all. Put God first in everything you do. Make time to devote yourself to prayer. Make time to devote yourself to reading the Bible. How much more could we grow if we spent time in God's Word? Be faithful in the small things. Be faithful in your prayer time. Be faithful in your reading time. If you're not faithful with the small things, how's God ever going to bless you with the big things? If you're not faithful with little, how will you be faithful with a lot? My boy John Gray says, when you're faithful in private, God will show you favor in public. I'm going to read that again. That's good stuff. When you're faithful in private, God will show you favor in public. Public. As Ron White says. In the fourth point, y'all, and this is the most important point. If you wanna really change, if you wanna change from where you are to where God wants you to be. Number four, you got to stand on the name of Jesus. You have to stand on the name of Jesus. This is a must. You have to do this. I want to go into detail about this. I told Jen the other day, next time I preach, I want to do the whole sermon on the name of Jesus. everything that comes with it, everything that backs it. Do you know the power that's in that name, the name of Jesus? Do you know the power? Let's go to Acts 4:12. Yeah, I did some studying for this one, y'all. So I'm finna teach. I did so much studying, I didn't even save my place in my Bible. It's all right. Acts 4:12. Salvation, this is my daddy's favorite scripture. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is no other name. You can be a good person all your life, but that ain't good enough. You can try to earn your way into heaven. You can try by works. It ain't good enough. You can pray to Allah, whoever these other people pray to, Aloha Snack Bar. It don't work. There is one name given under heaven by which we must be saved. One name, and that name is Jesus Christ. That name is Jesus. What's his name, church?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Master.
Jesus.
Savior.
Jesus.
My youth get hyped when we do that. Jesus. Salvation is found in no other name for Jesus. Full salvation is found in that name. And this is where my studying kicks in, y'all. The word salvation in Hebrew and Greek implies these words. This is what it means in that: deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. So if salvation means those words, let's back up to Acts 4:12 and let's substitute them. Deliverance is found in no one else. Safety is found in no one else. Preservation is found in no one else. Healing is found in no one else. And soundness is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus is the answer to it all, y'all. Jesus is the answer. Let's talk about healing. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5. Y'all, I got a bunch of scripture, but I'm just trying to show y'all every point I'm making. I got scripture to back it. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we've been what? Healed. By his wounds you have been healed. Healing belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. Jesus provided it in our redemption. He didn't just take away your sin. He also healed you. You can't get one without the other. It's like salvation and the Holy Spirit. People say, oh, well, I don't know. Holy Spirit steps on some people's toes. You know, they might run around the church. They might say something I don't understand. But it's a two for one. You don't get salvation of sin and undelivered of healing. It's the same thing. It goes together, y'all. It goes together. We have the remission of sins through the name of Jesus. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Thank God for that right there. Thank God that I'm not who I used to be. Y'all, let me tell y'all something. And this ain't nothing to do with the message. But I think about it. I usually sit right where Gentry sitting on Sunday mornings. And the other day, you ever just had times where you didn't feel like worshiping? Oh, my God, he is on the stage talking about he don't want to worship. Who let that boy preach? You ever have days like that, though? Where you just don't feel, you know what, I don't think I'm going to raise my hands today. You know, I'm just not really getting into it. Y'all, when I felt the Holy Spirit say to me just as plain, Cam, did Lil Wayne die on the cross for you? That might not seem like much to y'all, but I used to jam out to Lil Wayne. I would dance. I'd cut a fool. I enjoyed myself dancing to Lil Wayne. That filth, that garbage. And then I just felt the Holy Spirit ask me that, and I got to thinking, here I'm praising Jesus Christ, the guy who died for my sins. Lil Wayne ain't never done nothing for me. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I ain't even got enough to, you know, get a little bump. So y'all best believe I put the praise down now. But thank God we're not who we used to be, that we are new creations. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man, that's good stuff. Old things are passed away. The sins we committed before we accepted Jesus are gone. The sins you commit even now that you follow Jesus, when you ask forgiveness, you're gone. You're here. They're gone. But y'all, it's something my dad taught me, and it's so true. When you sin, when you mess up, can't you just see Jesus taking that nail-pierced hand and squeezing it? And that blood just flows down that paper, and it wipes out every mistake you've ever made. Praise God for that. Praise God for grace. God blots out our sins. He don't remember them no more. But I'm here to tell you that you can change, because through Jesus Christ, through the name of Jesus, you're not who you used to be. You don't have to keep living the same old life. You don't have to keep doing the same old things, but can. It's who I am. Holding it down. This is the way I am. It's what I've always done. My daddy was like this. His daddy was like this. I don't care. I don't care how you used to be, because you're not who you used to be. You are born again, a new creation. Galatians 2:20, for I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But what? Christ lives inside of me. Christ lives inside of me. We're not the same people we used to be. Y'all, through the blood of Jesus, through the power of the name of Jesus, you're set free from the bondage. You're set free from sin. You don't have to keep sinning. Just because your daddy was a drunk, that don't mean you got to be one. Just because you've always handled a certain situation a certain way don't mean you got to keep handling it that way. I tell y'all, when I knew that there was a change in me, y'all, there was a person, I ain't going to say hate because hate's a strong word, but there was a person I despised. I'm just being honest here. And I didn't like this person. I didn't want to see this person. Didn't want to be around this person. And I was sitting with a buddy at Jalapeno's one day. Who knows, you go to Jalapeno's, you're going to see that person you don't like. Anybody know that? So I'm sitting at Jalapeno's and that person come in. But y'all, I didn't feel anger. I didn't feel any hate, any animosity. Ooh, these big words on stage today. You know what I did? I invited them to come sit with me. And I put my arm around and told them I loved them. And that's when I knew that I'm a changed man, that I'm a new creation in Christ. But y'all, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, you don't have to be who you used to be. You can change. You can change. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. I called my mama this morning on the way to church, and I told her, you know, part of my sermon is talking about the power of the name of Jesus. Well, lo and behold, the song came on, the Break Every Chain song. So I had to get off the phone with mama, because it's time for praise and worship. But y'all, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every single chain you may be going through. Every chain that's got you tied down, Jesus breaks them. Jesus destroys them. You are a new creation. And go ahead and give you fair warning now. When you start to make changes, when you start to live for the gospel, when you start to live for Christ, whoo, the devil don't like that. But I'm in a business of offending the devil, and I really enjoy it. But the devil's going to come at you with everything he's got. Him and his cohorts, he's going to throw everything they got at you to get you away from where you're supposed to be, to knock you off the path that God's called you to walk. Yo, I still struggle all the time where I don't feel good enough. Who am I to get up there and preach to people? Yo, a couple weeks ago, Bo, y'all was there, I had to get up and preach to a teacher that I cussed out in high school. Yeah, that's what I said too when I found out she went there. But thank God for grace. Because who better than Miss Roundtree to see who I am now in Christ? That I'm not the old, I'm still fat, but I ain't no mean fat kid that cussed out teachers no more. Thank you, Jesus. But y'all, the devil, he'll do everything he can to get you to call, to get you away from the calling of God. And he'll remind you, he'll bring up everything from your past and say, who are you to get up and share Jesus with these people? And I shared with the youth a while ago, I can't remember word for word, but you know what? It ain't never been about me. It's never been about what I've done. It's all about what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And through his blood that was shed for me, through his resurrection, and through that power, the resurrecting power and the Holy Spirit inside of me, now I can go out and proudly proclaim the name of Jesus to anybody who'll listen to me. But when the devil comes at you, he tells you, you ain't worthy to praise. You can't go in there and lift your arms and worship. These people know what you've done. I shared this with the youth the last couple weeks ago. Y'all, back in the day, every good story usually begins with, hey, watch this. You know what I mean? There's a little part that goes in front of that, but we're leaving that out. Hey, watch this. And every time I do something stupid, every time I do anything to make people laugh, whatever would make people laugh, I was down for it. I'd go for it. Hey, watch this. Watch this. Well, y'all know what I tell the devil now when he tries to tell me, you can't worship. I say, hey, watch this. Hey, watch this. You see these hands? Watch this, devil. What? Oh, what's up? Just dab on him. But y'all, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Power to defeat any situation you're in. Jesus give us power over demonic spirits. Y'all might think that's a thing of the past. Y'all, I believe there's a demonic spirit on pornography. I believe there's a demonic spirit on alcoholism, drugs, any addiction. I believe there's a demonic spirit on that stuff. But you know what? We have the power through Jesus Christ to cast that stuff out. We have the power to cast that stuff out. The strongholds that have been holding people down, we have the power to cast that stuff out. We have the power to defeat the devil and all his legions. When you're in a bad situation, you can overcome it through the name of Jesus. I don't matter what people believe, what they say, what's real and what ain't real. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I pray and I pray and I pray that you've already confessed that before that day comes. And as long as you have a breath left in your body to take, it's not too late. You can be on your deathbed, but it's not too late. So the power of change comes through those four things. You got to want to change. You got to bring it to Jesus. You got to meditate on the word. And you've got to stand on the name of Jesus. To stand on the name of Jesus. Y'all, darkness can't overcome the light. Darkness can't overcome the light. I wish Mr. Bill was here because I'm giving him so many shout-outs today. Mr. Bill, he told me one time, he said, you walk into a dark room and flip on a light switch, what happens? The darkness flees. You realize when you walk into a dark situation, the light of Christ is shining so bright in you, the darkness is trying its best to get out of there. You see, when Jesus walked up on the scene, the demons, they were cowering down. We know who you are. Y'all, that same power is living right here, right now. That same power is living on the inside of y'all right here, right now, if you've accepted Jesus Christ. Healing comes through the power of the name. Salvation is in the power of the name. Darkness can't overcome the light, y'all. And we have access to that name. Everything that backs it, we have access to it. We are joint heirs with Christ. When the devil looks at me, he can't see Cam because he sees Jesus. He sees the blood of the Savior. He sees me clothed in righteousness. My filthy rags were traded in for garments of righteousness. And every one of us are like that when you've accepted Jesus Christ. So don't let the devil ever tell you you're not good enough or you can't change. You're stuck in this rut. You got to do this like this. No. You are a new creation through Jesus Christ. And there's nothing the devil can do to stop you. He can't physically stop you, but what he can do is get up here. And he can make you feel like you're not good enough. He can tell you all these lies. And he can make you believe lies. But y'all, you stay in the Word. You meditate on the Word. And you'll see the answers to all these problems. You'll see that the darkness cannot overcome the light. That the devil cannot defeat you. You have the power to change through Jesus Christ. You have the power to change. And y'all, I want to do something a little different today as we close. Wesley, y'all can come on up. I know back in 21 days of prayer, we had an altar call for healing. And y'all, we're in a hurting and broken world. A hurting and broken world. But today, I'm ready to see that power move. It's power that I'm talking about. I believe it all my heart. I'm ready to see it move today. Y'all, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Y'all, there's freedom here today to set the captives free. There's freedom here today to heal the lame, to heal the blind, to heal the mute. And today, in just a little bit, when I finish talking, I'm going to open up this altar. And if you've got anything you want to pray about, if you've got anything that needs healing, physical, emotional, spiritual, if there's anything that you want to pray with somebody about, please, step number two, bring it to Jesus. Bring it to the feet of Jesus. I don't know what you may be going through, but I don't have to know. Because God knows. God knows your heart. God knows exactly where you're at. And right here on October 9th, 2016 at Believers Church, he's reaching down from heaven. And he's saying, come home. Come home. I'm ready to heal it. I'm ready to fix it. But you got to believe it, y'all. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. There's healing power in that name. That there's resurrecting power in that name.